And now it's time for men's choir.
Thank you.
Special from Sister Ruthie.
Amen.
Today being Pastor's Appreciation, we were thinking of and praying of a song that would match today, and the song is called "Faithful to the Cross." And we should have our pastor in our hearts and prayers that he'd be faithful, and not just for him, but for ourselves, to be faithful to the cross.
Sister Sandra had Walker. Brother Gary had to drive her home. That's why they're not here with us today, because she's not feeling well. Also pray for the other sister, Sandra, that sits in the back, she's also out of town. She wants you to pray for our members that aren't here today. Psalm 23. Once you find a text, just real quickly put a bookmark on that text in Psalm 23. And then once you've done that, turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 16. I appreciate all of you for being here and for all that you do for this ministry that God has entrusted to us. First Samuel chapter 16, this message is going to be part two of the message from last Sunday. And if you were here last Sunday, the title of the message last Sunday was Keeper of the Sheep. Keeper of the Sheep. And this will be a continuation of that text, starting with 1 Samuel 16, verse 11. That's the only verse that we're going to read from the Old Testament, from our text this morning. Then I'll ask Brother Raul to lift up his voice and ask God to be in our midst and to speak to our hearts this morning. 1 Samuel 16, are you there?
Amen.
Amen. Verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? What a question. I ask myself that question sometimes. Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Brother Raul, can you lift up your voice, please? Thank you. You may be seated. Last Sunday, we introduced the choosing of the next king of the nation of Israel. Samuel goes to the household of Jesse and goes through 10 sons, and not a single one of them had satisfied Samuel. In verse 11, he asks Jesse, Are here all your children? As if he was asking, You are accountable for them. As if he's asking, Do you know where everyone is? And he said, Well, there remaineth yet the youngest. He said, Well, there's a younger, the youngest one. The only problem is, this is where we left off last Sunday. The only problem is he is a keeper of the sheep. And so he's out in the field working as a shepherd. That's what Jesse said. But the first thing we learn about King David as the next chosen king was that he was the youngest of all the sons of Jesse. And we said last Sunday, and I will reiterate it again, that younger does not always mean less experienced. And older does not always mean better when it comes to leadership and God's choosing. Amen?
Amen.
Go to Genesis chapter 25, verse 23. Genesis chapter 25, verse 23. You may remember the story of a twin. There was a story of the twin that were, the Bible says they were struggling inside their mother's womb, and who was going to come out first? Remember? That's quite a story. You know, when I read that text in Genesis chapter 25 about Jacob and Esau, And the Bible says that they were fighting who's going to come out first. You know what I imagine in my martial artist mind? I imagine two babies in the womb just playing jiu-jitsu going at it. Amen. But in Genesis 25:23, the Bible says that the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And what does the Bible say in Genesis 25:23? The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder, what does that say? Shall serve the younger. I like to throw that verse towards my brother. Amen. Romans 9:12, the Bible says it was said unto her, in reiterating that story, in Romans 9:12, the Bible says the elder shall serve the younger. Amen? But you know, the application of how that works, of how the new is better than the old, is pertaining to the law being the elder and grace being the younger. Amen. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, you see, the old is the Old Testament. The new is the New Testament. And yes, the New Testament is better than the Old Testament. The old covenant is old, the young, the new covenant is better. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. The Bible says, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a, what does that say? Better covenant, which was established upon better promises. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Amen? That's pertaining to the Old Testament and the New Testament. So the first thing we learn about David is that he was the youngest, yet he was the chosen one. Secondly, David was chosen because he was a keeper of the sheep. And we said last Sunday that God's chosen king to shepherd his flock had to be a natural shepherd. Amen? He had to be a natural shepherd. He could have chosen a warrior, but he did not. He could have chosen a statesman, or a politician, or a priest. But no, God chose one who was already taking care of the sheep. So God, by his divine providence, was preparing David by giving him a task or a profession which would prepare his heart and his mind for the higher calling of being the chosen king of God's chosen people. Now I ask myself this question. I mean, I grew up in the, we live in the 21st century. So it may be difficult for us to understand, what is it about being a shepherd that is essential for a ruler and for kings? I don't know. I did not grow up among herds and among cattle, but I have to do my research and read up on it. But if one goes to, I would call it Shepherd University, and majors in sheep studies, one will learn that a shepherd has three main responsibilities. There's another one, but that other one is not too obvious. The first responsibility, the reason why David was chosen as a shepherd, is because the shepherd's first responsibility is grazing or feeding the flock. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. So the first responsibility of a shepherd is to feed the flock. Isaiah 40, 11, the Bible says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. and shall gently lead those that are with young. There's the first responsibility of a shepherd, to feed the flock. The second responsibility is to watch over the flock while they sleep. Amen? A shepherd separates and protects. Let me say it again. A shepherd separates and protects. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, you'll hear this. You may remember the story when, right before Jesus Christ was born, there were wise men that were looking for the Messiah that was coming. And you know what type of people he appeared to? That star? Shepherds. And the Bible says they were in that same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So a shepherd's second responsibility is to watch over the flock while they sleep. Turn to John chapter 10, verse 2. John chapter 10, just real quick. John chapter 10, verse 2. So a shepherd's first responsibility is to feed a flock. His second responsibility is to watch over the flock while they sleep. And he has to separate and protect. John chapter 10, verse 2 says, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Verse 12, "But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep." Amen? Amen. Matthew chapter 25, verse 32. The Bible says, this is a prophetical text. He says, "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." So the second task of a shepherd is to isolate and separate the sheep from the goats. You got to know what type of flock you're shepherding. Are you shepherding a sheep, cattle, or are you shepherding goats or cows? Or you have to separate them. But more importantly, you have to separate those that are dressed up like a sheep, but in reality, they're wolves. Amen? So the first responsibility is to feed the flock. The second responsibility for the shepherd is to watch over the flock while they sleep and separate. Thirdly, and I think this is the most important one, the third responsibility of a shepherd is when one of the sheep wanders around, gets distracted and lost. You know what that shepherd does? That shepherd leaves the flock, seeks for the lost sheep, and returns him back to the flock. Amen? That's the shepherd's third responsibility. And the truth is, sometimes a shepherd has to leave the flock, leave the sheep who stayed, only to find the lost ones. Amen? Amen? To me, that is the third, but the most important responsibility of a shepherd. Take a look at Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, verses 3 to 5. Luke chapter 15, verses 3 to 5. Let's get to know our Bibles. Amen? Amen. Luke chapter 15, verses 3 to 4 and 5. This is Jesus Christ speaking, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, watch what Jesus Christ said. He said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders," what does the Bible say? Rejoicing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 41, 42, plus maybe a dozen out there. Amen? 60. But the Bible says that the third responsibility of a shepherd is that when a sheep goes astray, his most important responsibility is to return the sheep that have been lost to the flock. Amen? Now that third responsibility is somewhat in conflict with the first two. I want you to pay attention to this train of thought. Let me say it again. That third responsibility is somewhat in conflict with the first two. The first two, we said, and you agreed with me, the first responsibility was to feed the flock. Amen? The second responsibility was to protect the flock. But the third responsibility is to leave the flock and find the lost. Question. Who feeds the flock and watches over them while the shepherd is away looking for the lost sheep? Amen? And if the shepherd is feeding the flock, who is looking for the lost sheep? Or if there are wolves eating the flock, that is not the right time to feed them or to leave them to find the lost sheep. And God forbid, what if the sheep were fighting amongst themselves? Then the shepherd would not be able to feed them, nevertheless, leave them to find the lost ones. Have you thought about it? And the truth is this, it becomes an impossible task. It becomes an impossible task. Because the shepherd cannot be in all places at one time. Amen? Well, what about the family of the shepherd? Well, that's the other unspoken flock he has to tend to. Next question. Do the shepherds ever come home to their wives and their children? Think about it. During the day, they're feeding the sheep. At night, they are watching over the flock. When a sheep goes astray, they have to secure the sheepfold, go away for a while, and find the lost sheep. Meanwhile, who's taking care of the shepherd's family? Thought about that? Here's the next one. Do shepherds ever get to sleep? In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. If the shepherd is watching over the flock by night, who's watching his flock at home? Are you with me? Luke 9:58. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So, a shepherd stays up all night and falls asleep on rocks. Amen? Well, or cars, or hospital chairs, and sometimes the floor with a rolled up towel as a pillow. I tell you, it is rough living. And sometimes it turns into a battlefield. A shepherd will get some scars and some scratches, if not broken bones. David, you'll learn later, David, when he was a shepherd, he fought a bear and a lion. Did he not? Let me add the pain to the injury. Here's the worst part. Oftentimes the sheep has no idea what the shepherd goes through. You see? But that is why it was important for the chosen king of Israel to be a shepherd. Because he had to attend Shepherd University. You see? Also known as the School of Hard Knocks. Or in this case, the School of Hard Rocks. Amen? That is why God's chosen king had to be a shepherd. Amen? Now I know that I have a duty. I have a duty as a pastor to teach and preach and to tend to the flock that God has entrusted me with. But there's a greater duty for me, and that is to win souls. Amen? Matthew 9:12, the Bible says, when Jesus heard that, he said to them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. It's an impossible task. You know what will make it better, will make it easier? Is if you can join me, find some lost ones and bring them to a fold. So I will not have to leave the flock. Amen. Amen? Amen? I can't find all of them or reach all of them. Somebody else would have to do it. Here are my challenges for Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. I need someone to be faithful in the visitation care program, to visit those who are sick. As simple as writing get well cards that my wife and my daughters do. To visit church members who haven't been in church for a while, to make follow-up calls, I can't do all of that. I need someone to lead a monthly door knocking. That's all I'm asking for, monthly. I'm not asking weekly. Some churches do it every day. But I need someone to lead a monthly door knocking. Just go out there, give out tracts, invite them to our 50th year anniversary. Tell them about Jesus. You know why? Because I can't do it. I need someone to manage our website. Brother Pat's doing an excellent work, but he gets loaded too. To upload and update the messages and the schedule and the pictures. Take care of this building. Amen? You know why I'm asking that? Because I can't do it. It's an impossible task. But you know, that's why I'm thankful that I am not the great and chief shepherd. Amen. Amen. Amen? The more important reason why the chosen king for God's chosen people had to be a shepherd is to fulfill God's plan. You see, God's plan for mankind has been hinted since the beginning of time. In Genesis chapter 4, you'll remember two brothers by the name of Abel and Cain. And the Bible says that Abel was a keeper of sheep. From the beginning of time, God has been hinting to mankind that he will provide a shepherd for them. He first appeared to those of the same profession as him in the Gospels. And then he took the profession out of compassion. Matthew 9:36. Jesus Christ said that when he, the Bible says that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He is the great and chief shepherd. Amen? Amen. Not me. Hebrews 13:20 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, 1 Peter 2:25, you were as sheep going astray, but now are you returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Amen. I am glad I'm not the chief shepherd, just an under shepherd. Amen. 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So, point number one, David was chosen because he was shepherding the sheep. Point number two, David was chosen because of God's ultimate plan to provide the chief shepherd. And then point number three, or question number three, if I may, how do you know you belong to God's flock? In John chapter 10, verses 14 and 16, Jesus Christ said, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. In verse 16, he says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Are you looking at your Bible? John chapter 10? He says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So how do you know you belong to God's flock? Turn to Psalm 23 with me. Psalm 23. Here's how you know you belong to God's flock. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? I shall not want. If the Lord Jesus Christ is your shepherd, you will have contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. How do you know you belong to God's flock? I shall not want. Secondly, Psalm 23 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. If the Lord Jesus Christ is your shepherd, you will have peace in your heart. You'll have peace in your heart. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If the Lord Jesus Christ is your shepherd, you have peace in your heart. Amen? Do you? Do you have peace in your heart? Be honest. Verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If the Lord Jesus Christ is your shepherd, then there will be restoration. Do you see that? He restoreth my soul. And he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There will be restoration and righteousness in your life. Are you being reflective? Is there any restoration and healing in your life? In Mark chapter 3, verse 5, there was a man with the leprosy. And he had leprosy in his hand. You know what Jesus Christ said? Put it inside your pocket. And when he pulled out his hand out of his pocket, the Bible says in Mark chapter 3 that his hand was restored, whole as the other. In Mark chapter 8, there was a blind man. You remember him? The blind man says, Lord, that I may see. But you know what Jesus Christ did? He places his hands again upon his eyes, and he told them to look up. And the Bible says that his vision was restored. You see, if Jesus Christ is your shepherd, there will be restoration and righteousness in your life. Can I continue? Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. If the Lord Jesus Christ is your shepherd, you will have the boldness and comfort in living a Christian life. Amen?
Amen.
Luke 9:26 says, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest me with oil, with my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. If the Lord Jesus Christ is your shepherd, you will be blessed with many things. Oh yeah. And the key is found in giving. Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with, it shall be measured to you again. Amen? Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If the Lord Jesus Christ is your shepherd, you have a future in heaven.
Amen?
Amen? Psalm 122, verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I mean, you have to love and enjoy coming to church.
Amen.
You have to love and enjoy the fellowship among other believers. If you don't, you're going to have a hard time when you get to heaven.
Amen.
Amen? So the question is, is the Lord Jesus Christ your shepherd? If he is your shepherd, the promise is that he keepeth the sheep. He keepeth the sheep. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're not saved today. You don't belong to the fold. Amen? You have to ask with simple faith for him to save you. Romans chapter 10 says you have to believe and ask. Are you saved this morning? The altar is open. But if you are saved this morning, but you don't belong to a sheepfold. Every Christian has to belong to a sheepfold. You need a shepherd. Amen? If you're not a member of Chula Vista Baptist Church, we'll give you a chance to make that decision today. Come inside the sheepfold. Submit yourself to a shepherd. And the shepherd God has chosen is not selfish. As a matter of fact, he is selfless, but makes us sacrifices. And yes, including his own family. Would you be a member of the sheepfold of Chula Vista Valley Baptist Church? But most importantly, is the Lord Jesus Christ shepherding your life? Is he shepherding your life? Do you have peace in your heart about the things that you do? About what you're doing right now? Do you have peace about the decision that you're about to make? Is that what God is telling you to do? Or are you a rebellious sheep? Trying trying to go astray. I'll come and get you. That's what a shepherd does. But as I go out there to come and get you and bring you back, guess what I have to sacrifice? Feeding the flock. Protecting the flock. Amen? But is the Lord Jesus Christ the shepherd of your soul? In Him there's comfort. In Him there's contentment. In Him there's joy. In Him there's peace. In Him there is eternal life. Is He the shepherd of your soul? The altar is open. Maybe God is calling you to help us. Amen? Maybe God is calling you. Say, Pastor, if you're ever away and you need someone to watch over the flock, I'll do it for you. Pastor, if you need someone to rescue a lost sheep, I'll go out there for you. Pastor, if you need someone to protect the flock, I'll protect the flock for you while you're away. What's God telling you to do? What is God telling you to do? All you gotta do is listen. You gotta listen to the Holy Spirit. Not man. Not your spouse. Not your children, not your parents. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit. What is He calling you to do? What is He asking you to do? Sing Living for Jesus. Let's sing a song and then I'll ask Brother Rommel to close us in prayer. Sing 379. Let's sing one verse.
Lord and Savior, I give my soul. Father, we thank you for what you have given us again this morning, and Lord, for the Sunday school hour, for teaching us, Lord, about miracles and marriages. Lord, we thank you, Lord, Father, for the preaching of your word, and again, reminding us who our shepherd is. Thank you, Lord, for giving your lives, Lord, for us, your life in exchange of our lives. And Heavenly Father, again, we thank you that we can live for you, not only in this material world, but that, Lord, even more so, the eternal life that we know is already ours. Lord, please help us to live our lives as God's people. Please help us, Lord, to live for you. We give you all the praise and all the honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.